You're listening to Marketing and Mocktails with Manal Sampat, a previously recorded Facebook Live episode inside the group Marketing and Mocktails with Manal, where dental professionals discuss, share, and learn about dental marketing. Manal Sampat is an entrepreneur, speaker, healthcare provider, and enthusiastic shoe lover. She launched her first company by breaking a Guinness World Record. Join her as she discusses marketing, team, business growth, and more with other industry experts.
Hello! Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Marketing and Mocktails with Manal. So I have a little guest today with us, as you see, not little guest, but the guest in the dental marketing field who is incredibly brilliant, I think, and she has been doing this for a very, very long time. In fact, I believe almost 20 years, right?
That's right.
Almost 20 years. She is a spouse of a practicing dentist. So she has lived it. She knows the ins and the outs. It's not just an outsider giving marketing tips, which is so very important. And I'm kind of thrilled for today's episode because, you know, when I bring people on, we have conversations and we go through different marketing tips. Most times, you know, I have guests from other industries. But this time, I have a guest who lives it and breathes it and has a team that supports her in all of these wonderful things. So give me a very, very warm welcome and a belated happy birthday to Zanya.
Thank you for having me on. Yeah, when you mentioned my birthday, we are officially letting everybody know how long I have been in this industry.
Hey, I didn't tell anybody your age, even though you're like rocking it.
Oh, it's all over the place. I freely admit it. I own it. I hit 50. And I'm kind of loving it.
You're loving it, right?
I'm loving it.
It's brilliant, though. Happy belated birthday. I see we have some viewers, 6 viewers. Who are you? Where are you watching from? Tell us who you are because I can't see who you are. Give us a hello if you have marketing questions, any marketing questions, like literally. Internal, external, social, digital, websites, web chats, Google ads, Facebook ads, whatever questions you got. Tonight's your night. Put them all in here because we are going to answer them. I see Rhonda, you're commenting. Hi, Rhonda. Hello. And you know, before we jump into the questions, the Q&A part of, hi, Candace. Before we jump into the Q&A part of things, I just wanted to do a little shout out. So we have something new happening in our show now. Thanks to all of you and the wonderful guests that we have. The show is completely booked out for 2019. See what year it is. I don't even know anymore. For 2019, in fact, we are so booked out. The show is turned into a podcast. It's going to be turned into a YouTube channel, which is going to be turned into an email marketing, which is going to be turned into an IGTV thing. Well, there's a lot of things happening. And when we have a lot of things happening, that means we also have some great supporters who help us do that. So today's resource, except our wonderful guest, obviously, is Corey from CallForce. I'm sure many of you remember him. We talked a lot about web chats and the millennial generation and how do we connect with people and the, you know, after hour calls and everything. So Corey from CallForce wanted to give you a big shout out, and he has actually given a special discount to anybody who listens to the show or watches it or comes across it. There's a landing page. I'll put that in the comments. So check that out. There's a landing page from Corey at CallForce. It's a great, great company. So Corey, thank you so much for making tonight's episode a hit. So guys, look out for that comment. And now back to marketing questions. Okay.
Well, I just got to jump in and tell you, Corey did a demo for my team about a week and a half ago, and he is like the answer to our prayers. I am sure you know how much I'm like, I live and die on data. I need to know how well the marketing is working. So we track everything. And the biggest frustration for me is when a doctor's investing in marketing and they can't manage all the calls that are coming in, which is a great problem to have, but it's still a problem. Mm-hmm. And Corey is now my go-to guy. So you couldn't have a better sponsor.
Isn't he awesome?
He really is.
You know, he's awesome, but what I really appreciate about him, which is also something that I appreciate about you, he's very authentic. And so are you. It's not a forced conversation. It's not, if there's a question, I can just ask. Like, there are questions I may ask you. I just send you a Facebook message. And I'm like, hey, what do you think? It's so important to have people like that in the industry who are honest and authentic and absolutely love what they do. So everybody who's watching, I've just put up the code right here. The landing page is getcallforce.com/Manal Sampat, M-I-N-A-L-S-A-M-P-A-T. So check it out and make sure you give him some love because he's kind of awesome. Okay.
Agreed.
Well, thank you. We have a lot of people coming in, but for some reason, as technology does what it does, I'm not seeing your names coming up on BeLive. So if you see me switching, I'm not ignoring you guys. I'm just looking at your comments coming in, and I'm talking at the same time. So we have hello to Ann Duffy, to Trish, to all these other people coming in. We have some nine, some comments. Hi, everybody. Thank you. Okay. So we already have a question coming in, and we have, how can I use marketing to gain clients? So this is actually, Trish, you are a consultant. You are not a dentist. You are a consultant. Do you want to start, Sana, on this?
So that is such an incredibly broad question. How do you not use marketing to gain clients? I don't know. I guess it in my mind, and you're a strategist, Manal, so you're going to probably have a similar answer. Before you can figure out how to use marketing to gain clients, we got to know, what clients do you want? And how many of them do you want? And, you know, certain services that they're interested in. So for me, it always goes back to the research in the beginning, understanding our target, our audience, our client goals, to figure out what the marketing is. So if Trish wants to share a little bit of that, we can dig deeper.
Yes, Trish, why don't you give us some information on what kind of clients you're trying to attract? And we can definitely come up with some answers and some strategies for you in that, you know, that will help you directly get in front of them. And it's like, you know, what you said, it's so important to know your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know your audience, you don't know who you are marketing to and how to market, right? So there are...
Well, no, I was going to say, I mean, it's almost like broadcasting, the old days of broadcasting. When you're on television, yes, there's a little bit of a demographic, but you're reaching every single body that is watching. And in this digital age, that's crazy. There's just so much wasted opportunity there. Your marketing dollars can go so much further when you know exactly who that target audience is.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not even that hard anymore.
Mm-mm.
Technology has made life so easier for us, so much easy, that we don't have to now kind of just throw our arrows and hope something catches, right? We can know exactly where we want to hit, what do we want to tell them, how do we want to sell it, what is our messaging behind it. And it's so important for other people to understand that. Now, since you are a consultant, and I think this goes for even dentists, and one thing that I think we both believe in is, you need to start creating a culture of people who are willing to be abundant in what they're saying. So, you know, there are times when you will come across companies, or there are times when you come across, as a consumer, there are times where I'll come across countries and you can tell that they are flat out sales.
Mm-hmm.
It's no relationship building. It's no hello, hi, how are you? It's none of that. It's direct sales. And when you do that, people are smart. They see through that. And it's harder for you to make a sale like that. And I think as a consultant or as a dentist, when you're trying to create or attract long-term people into your business, there has to be a relationship. What do you think?
I could not agree more. I mean, I look at my job, honestly, as professional problem solver. That has been my special talent, I think, since I was a kid, is I love solving problems. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's really hard for me to slow down and not just like give the answer on the spot all the time. Because I know that answer is just right there. So yes, it's there are so many opportunities out there. I love the idea of coming from a mindset of abundance. This world has 7 billion people. There is more than enough for all of us to share. So yes, I think that anything that Trish might want to do that is going to be authentic, that has that consultative, I mean, I don't want to call it consultative selling because it isn't selling. It's solving a problem for somebody. And that's really what marketing is meant to be. Marketing and sales are two completely different things. When you go into a big corporation, there's a marketing department and there is a sales department. They are very different animals. Marketing is about generating interest in your brand and identifying a problem that your target audience is having so that you can help them solve it. Sales is the other end of it. And even then, though, sales shouldn't be that direct hard pitch sales. It needs to be, thoughtful. Is this a solution that's actually going to help somebody? Because for the long-term brand of that company, if they're just selling for the idea of making a buck, I mean, you know as well as I do, that's going to hurt the company in the long run.
It has. And, you know, I have to give you credit because you have the best team.
Oh, thank you.
Your team is amazing. They're always, you know, efficient. They are very quick with their responses. They do build a relationship. You know, they want to know what's going on. They are commenting on things. It's not as if they are just somebody random on the phone that I'm speaking to. So, you know, they always try to create a relationship, and it's such a fantastic way to get to know people, to get to know the people you're working with, to get new clients coming through it too. And, you know, we have Trish here that says that I would love clients that want to increase revenue by building. Yeah, absolutely. By building relationships with their patients. Absolutely, Trish. So if you want people who believe in relationships, then you should start doing that for yourself, and you will start attracting those kind of people because they already believe in relationships, right? Yep, we have Anne saying there is plenty of clients to go around, scarcity mentalities, stinking thinking. Yes, stinking
exactly.
Thinking. I'm kind of liking this. I'm kind of liking this. Well, let's jump gears because we have some docs coming on now. And let's talk about something which let's go from the best to the worst kind of marketing strategy.
Okay.
So we're probably going to get booed a little bit, but it's okay. This is the whole point of the show, right? To discuss things and to go be comfortable. So what would you say is one of the worst marketing strategies that the doctors are still using today?
Okay. So for me, if anybody is still bothering to pay the Yellow Pages money, I have a Brooklyn Bridge that is up for sale. That truly, I mean, when is the last, every time I get the Yellow Pages, it just goes right in the recycling. And I watch this thing go from thicker to thinner to thinner to thinner to thinner every single year. I don't know how the phone companies stay in business. So that's the bottom of the barrel. But one thing I see doctors get sucked into is, while I am a huge proponent of local marketing, anything that ties you to your community, sometimes doctors have a tendency to just throw money at little last minute things. I still have doctors who have come to us who have, they're paying $50 a month to have their name on a paper placemat in a local restaurant. We had one doctor, bless his heart, he was such a good supporter of his community. He paid $30,000 a year to sponsor school folders for the elementary school. I can think of so many better ways for him to spend his money to help.
That's a lot of money.
It is. It was a little frightening to hear that number. And he was just such an incredibly generous person. But what he didn't realize is more than half of that money was going to the company who was selling the folders for the school. So any of those kind of things, you just have to be a little bit suspicious about because somebody else has got their fingers in the game.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the other issue that I have with something like that is we are looking at marketing as a solution in that case. And marketing is not a solution. Marketing is a tool. Marketing is something that connects the dots for you. It's not automatically, you can't throw money at something and expect that it's just going to work. If things were that easy, then none of us will have a job. You know, we won't be doing what we are doing right now. So I think when you start, like you said, when you start looking at marketing, like Yellow Pages or, you know, last minute events or opportunities without having a strategy, without having a plan behind it, it's just kind of, you are spending money to spend it. And you're not spending money to get an ROI on it. You're not spending money to get a relationship out of it or even a new patient or a new client. And I completely agree with Yellow Pages. I'm a millennial and I don't remember. I'm trying to think when was the last time I saw Yellow Pages. Like, I don't have it in my memory bank where I saw Yellow Pages.
The only place I remember it is my mailbox going right into the recycling bin. And it's just kind of crazy. So I think the other thing that's at the bottom of the list, and you'll probably agree with this, is what I call reactionary marketing. So it isn't a particular strategy. It's the panic of, oh my God, there's holes in my schedule. How did this happen? We need to do something stat. And it becomes this desperate grab for, I need some silver bullet that is going to solve this problem. And sorry, silver bullets, they work on vampires, werewolves, something like that, but definitely not in marketing.
And that happens all the time. So, you know, a strategy to this that I help, and I'm sure you do too, is I want to see trends in your office. Mm-hmm. So you are able to now, you know, go back into your softwares, and I tell them to go back a couple of years, and I want to see how many new patient numbers you're getting every month.
Yep.
And where your new patients are coming from. Now, when you are able to look at that, I help you create a Excel sheet pretty much. And we start doing some, like you say, you are data, so am I. I love to see the numbers. We start creating graphs. And what was that going to show you is you're going to see a trend. And you're going to know which months usually are not very good in your mm-hmm. practice and which months are booming. Now, if you have that trend available, so if you are able to take a look at it and automatically be able to say, okay, you know what? May is going to be a slow month for us. You need to start marketing in March.
You and I are so exactly on the same wavelength. I love you. Because there's always that 60-day churn from the time that you start the initiative, you generate some awareness, the leads come in, you get the patient in that first appointment, you're not generating revenue. You've got to back that up. I love it. We're so on the same wavelength.
It's so true, though. But, you know, like I have so many times, and I'm sure you'll come across this too, when they want to hire me as a strategist. First of all, people don't know what a strategist does. So they're like, hold on. So you don't build websites? I'm like, no. You're not going to post for us on your social media? Nope. No going to do that too. You're not going to be coming into our office to do this? Nope. Not going to do that too. You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at what you're spending your money on in your marketing. I'm going to see where your budget should be going, what you need to add to get in front of your target market. We're going to reduce your marketing budget. We're going to increase your production. That's what I'm here for. But that's when I start asking them questions and I say, okay, well, how many new patients? First of all, many people don't know how many patients they're seeing on a monthly basis.
I always get, and you probably get this too, when I ask them the number of new patients they're seeing, first of all, you get the ballpark answer. And once you see the data, it's almost inevitably the most recent high month that they had. Not a realistic point of view, because that's a month that's memorable because you did so great. So that number sticks in your mind. And it's not an objective view of truly how many new patients you're averaging.
Right. And then there are times where I get this when I ask them, where are your patients coming from? What is the highest referral marketing source? And they just automatically say Google. They're like, Google. It's Google. I'm like, okay, that's great. It's Google. And, you know, we all know Google is the king and people go to Google to search. But I think they've heard that so many times that they assume that's what's happening. And then when I go into an incognito window and I start doing their searches and I'm like, you're on page 3. So I don't necessarily think that, the referral source is correct. And if it is correct, oh my God, the potential. If people are coming to you from page 3, imagine if you were to get on page 1. Like, I just solved your entire marketing for you. Mic drop, I'm going to walk out, you know? That's your strategy. If they are coming to you from page 3, just get on page 1 and you're going to be busy. But I have that happen where people don't know the numbers. And mm-hmm. I don't think it's them. I don't think it's a issue for them because they're not taught these things. You know, in dental school, they didn't come out and said how to run your practice, how to count new patient numbers and referral sources and how to make reports or how to do Google AdWords or build a website. They don't know these things and they shouldn't.
When my husband was in dental school, I mean, we met when he was in his second year of dental school. So I know the journey he had. Now, granted, this was a little while ago, given my age. So we've been married coming up on 26 years. This was 28 years ago. But he got one class for one semester, an hour a week. And that was everything about business management, from how to negotiate your leasing, get involved with insurance companies and HR things and HIPAA things that you needed to know. And they don't even come close to touching things like marketing. And it's not a doctor's fault, but all of a sudden they're thrust into the world of being a business owner and they don't have that information to know what are important metrics to track.
Right. And you know, what are the key numbers, the key metrics to track? How do we worry about that? And you shouldn't have to worry about that. You have a degree in something. You are providing care for your patients. Your focus should be providing care to your patients. You shouldn't have to worry about all these numbers and things. And you know, your husband's a dentist, my husband's a physician. And a similar thing, you know, for Andrew, it's like, are they smart people? Of course they are smart people. They went to schools and they came out with wonderful grades and they're business owners. That's wonderful. But it's the unfortunate way of how things are taught that they just simply don't know. And unfortunately, a lot of companies do take advantage of that.
Yeah, they do. And that, boy, I got to tell you, that is something that just eats at my soul a lot of times, because by the time doctors call us, they've usually been through the grind of looking for the silver bullets, being taken advantage of, just getting burned. And I hate it because I think it gives them a bad taste about what marketing can really do. And, you know, but there are a lot of people out there, you're right, who just take advantage of them. It's very unethical. Thankfully, there's people like you who treat them right, who help give them smart strategies to move them forward.
And I think, so, you know, if you are a dentist or even if you are a business owner of any sort, I think it's a really good idea that before you just start working with somebody, you kind of do a little bit of research and you mm-hmm. find out who they are, how long they have worked in the field that they have worked for. Do they have references? Do they have reviews online? When you go to somebody and you ask them, hey, well, you know, what do you think of Manal? Have you worked with her? Do you know anything about her? Get people's feedback, because it's so important for you to have that trust in the people you're working with, especially you're giving them money, hard-earned money, and you're trusting them with it. You know, it's so important for you to do a little bit of research on your own and to speak to people. And if there are companies out there who are, you know, who understand this, like your company, you acknowledge this, you set up a whole call with a presentation. For, you know, I've had clients who have done proposals that you've done proposals with, right? And you do a whole analysis. You ask them the right questions. Who is your target market? Who are you trying? It's not just, hey, we're going to build a website for you. Yippee, let's go. You know, it's not as simple,
well,
right?
Sure. I mean, there's assumptions. There's tools that everybody needs. Not having a website's like not having a phone number these days. But it's so much deeper than that. And it just really varies by the market they're in and what their competition is doing and who their target is. So if someone can solve all of your marketing problems in a 30-minute phone call and tell you exactly what you need to do, they're not thinking very deep. And you're probably just going to end up burned again. I mean, there's a reason that we go as deep as we do, because ultimately it gives you a much better outcome. It's like anything in life. If it's too good to be true, it really is. So when you put the time and the effort into it, you get a much better result.
Absolutely. I think, you know, put the time and the effort in, but at the same time, also understand that you need to know some of your own numbers and some of your own data as well. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, you should know not only how many new patients, because we did get a comment here from Trish who said that, you know, you also need to focus on how many people are leaving your practice. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
There is a new patient number obsession where they want to, you know, I recently had a phone call with somebody who was averaging over 150 new patients a month, one location.
How many of them are staying?
That's the question, right? So when I had the call with them, so my first question was, look, you're one location, you have that many new patients coming in, why do you need me? And then I started probing a little bit more to understand why is it that they are asking, because sometimes they don't know why they need you. They just kind of want to figure things out, right? And mm-hmm. start probing. And this is when the things came out. And so like, oh, well, yeah, but not all of them are staying, not all of them are coming back. Okay, so you are attracting people, but they're not turning into long-term patients. So you are continuously now throwing money at mm-hmm. marketing, working on that quantity game, but not on the quality game. And, you know, that's something that's why we have so many promotions and ridiculous amount of treatment being thrown away and given for free, because you just want to get the numbers game. But what after that? You know, what comes after the numbers game?
And that's why I am such, again, I'm a data hound, kind of like you are. That's why we actually even built software that can dig into the data that we can connect to their practice management software. Because if I don't know that stuff up front, I can't actually build a smart plan for somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm not just looking at how many new patients you need, but I need to see what your active patient database looks like. Do we have an awful lot of people that we are just losing? They're sliding out the back door because no one's paying attention to them, and they're being picked up by another practice, or they only wait until there's an emergency, and they're not being retained by the practice for that recurring revenue of hygiene. Looking at another number I love to track that I think is such a strong indicator of, again, not just the new patient numbers, how many of the new patients that are coming in are referred by an existing patient? Because if they're not having that exceptional experience, then you know that they are not referring friends and family to you, which is the least expensive marketing of all the things that can be done. So you're right. We look at every single number because it is, your ROI is just going to be, it's going to be squat if you are not retaining those patients in the practice. Quality, not quantity.
Quality, not quantity. And the better point about it, this is also that at the end of the day, you're in the business to make money, right?
Right.
So you can work harder for pennies, or you can work at your own pace and you can be making dollars, right? So there are sometimes you need to kind of step back and understand that, yeah, you may just have 30, 40 patients, but if they're high ticket patients, if they're high value patients, and they're spending the kind of money that you will be getting otherwise from smaller, smaller cases or things like that, again, you need to know who you want to attract to the practice. And sometimes it's okay for you to get 5 or 10 new implant patients. I mean, implants alone, right? So at the end of the day, you want to see what is going to increase my production when it comes to marketing. And this is going to sound ironic and ridiculous coming from a marketing strategist.
But
everybody who's watching and listening, you don't need all the marketing in the world. Ridiculous. In fact, you don't need, you know, when I look at some of the marketing that's being done, you don't need most of that marketing that you're doing. You just need to focus on 5 really good referral sources, mm-hmm. which are bringing you the new patients. And that's what you want to encourage. And then everything else that you do with your marketing is going to be at a smaller level. And it's going to just help push things through. But those 5 main major marketing referral sources, your outlets, your platforms, your strategies are the ones that I have come across. And please tell me what you have come across, that I have come across. Focusing on those creates a life cycle of money coming in.
It does. Well, and if you can actually measure it, if you are measuring phone calls and tying those phone calls to new patients and treatment plans and production and collections and how long that patient is staying in the practice, it's really easy to tell with data these days exactly what's working and what's not. Personally, I think marketers have a professional responsibility to go way beyond making the phone ring. Because if my only goal is to make your phone ring, I can do that in a heartbeat. I could do that a lot easier than how I spend most of my days.
And that number could be skewed.
Of course. But it's not ethical if I am not helping you make sure that you are maximizing those marketing dollars. And that means looking at, are you presenting good treatment plans? And are patients accepting those treatment plans? Because if I see that there's holes in this marketing funnel that I'm starting to pour new patients into for you, then it's my job to hook you up with an incredible consultant who can help you with case presentation skills, who can help your hygiene team with making sure that the reappointments get done, help your team at the front desk with call conversion. Marketing is, there's so many layers to it. If you really look at it and you truly follow the entire funnel, any good company that you work with should be looking at every single stage of that patient's life once they're in the practice, not just that initial lead.
And like you said, it's everything. You know, while a marketing ad or something can get a patient to call your office, even come into your office, it takes a lot more for them to keep coming back.
Well, of course, if they don't have a good relationship, a good experience, something that feels authentic, like we talked about, versus them feeling like they're getting churned through a, you know, a big corporate practice where they're just a number, then as a patient, why am I going to come back? I mean, if you think about it, you love social media, right? And social media is about connecting with people and relationships. And yet somehow in this world of highly corporate dentistry and corporate medicine, it's like we've completely forgotten the most important part, the signal that this generation has told us is important to them, that they want to connect. And we're just looking at the efficiency of dollars, 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 people through the door. And they've missed the point that this generation has given them bright signals of where to look, and they're just in another direction. It makes me crazy.
It's crazy. And I think, you know, we talked about this in my group, where every generation is different, a little bit different. And there's overlap in a lot of different generations as well. And the funny part is, you know, I grew up with technology, right? But again, to me, technology is a tool to connect. It's not a solution, like I said earlier today. So here's something funny. I was at a conference earlier this month in June. And I talked about this, I think, earlier this month in one of my episodes. But I was at the conference. I was one of the three millennials in the entire room. This was a dental conference, dental consulting conference. In the entire room, right? There were three millennials. I was one of them. Everybody else was boomers. Most of them were boomers. Few in between. Now, I decided to do a little experiment, and I decided to stay off of, like, you know, taking photos and selfies and boomerangs and all that stuff. I was like, I'm just going to chill, and I'm going to see what happens. I have a really funny picture of every single person, majority of them boomers, sitting on their chairs with their phones out, live streaming, taking selfies, doing boomerangs, doing jumping. And I'm here just like flabbergasted saying, and you think millennials are the ones obsessed with social media? We haven't even been on it. Like, I was looking at the other two millennials in the room, and we are both like, have you been on Insta today? Like, yeah, I have, but I haven't posted anything. And we are like looking at all this feed, our own feed coming in with all these people at the conference, just going crazy with photos and videos. You know, all these things coming in at the same time. And I think there is a marriage happening right now. You know, I jokingly said something, it's not, but it's the truth. It's not jokingly, but it's the truth, is the largest, you know, workforce in the US right now are the millennials. Mm-hmm. But the largest growing generation on Facebook are the boomers.
Of course, because they followed their kids there.
Their kids and their grandkids and everybody. If you want to connect with your family, you stay there, right?
But well, that's, I don't know. My kids have disappeared. They wouldn't touch Facebook for all the money in the world.
Are they on Instagram or are they Snapchatting?
My kids will come back like 3 months later after I've tagged them on something on Facebook. Mom, why did you do that? Like, you didn't even notice it because you're not on here. Why do you care?
Well, you know what I had to do? So, this is a true story, and I'm sure my parents are watching. Linda Miles. Hey, Linda, thanks for being here. So Linda Miles, a lot of people met my parents earlier this month. And I have a Facebook page for my company, right? Mm-hmm. But I had to create my Facebook group because my parents and my family started loving and commenting on everything on my Facebook business page. Now, I love that. Yes, I get it. You are supporting me, but you are messing up my entire audience right now. Like, I can't target a Facebook ad to my fans or a lookalike audience, that people who like that page, because it's like family and friends. And I'm like, you are not my target audience. And I would call my mom and I'll be like, Mom, stop liking my stuff. Like, stop commenting on it. She's like, I'm your mother. I can like everything I want. I'm going to keep liking it and I'm going to keep commenting it. So I had to create a Facebook group where I allow people to come in so that it doesn't get crazy with family. And trust me, they're super upset that they are not allowed on my Facebook group. They're very upset about it.
I'm sure they're taking it very personally. Yes.
But you understand.
I totally get it. It's a very different, I wish that the idea that we would be separating our personal lives from our professional lives had come about at the beginning of all this social media, because mine is so intertwined. I'm screwed. Yeah. It's this way for the rest of my life. But I do, I'm very careful about what I post anymore. I can't be as personal sometimes as I really want to be.
Yes. So there are ways, you know, you can control it.
Oh, I know. No, absolutely.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
you can control it. Trust me, my attention span, a lot of times it's just one thing that's happening on the fly. So I've just learned to be a little broader in my perspective and everything that I share on social.
Right. And I think that's a great way of looking at it too, is it also helps you streamline things. But like, you know, going back to, sorry for getting crazy.
Yeah, I know, we went on a total tangent.
But yes, you know, the whole point of all of this kind of marketing or using the new platforms and the technologies today is to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
And in a world that is full of ads and crazy white noise, it's how do you connect, right? It all comes down to your messaging. It all comes down to making sure that you are authentic, that you are saying and providing solutions to problems that people actually have and not just doing an ad to get in front of people. Have you come across, because you've been doing this so much, you know, people, there are times where I have to step back for my own clients and tell them to separate between what they should be doing and what an expert should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Google Ads.
Well, but Google Ads Express just makes it so easy, didn't you know?
Here's another funny story. This is regarding Google Ads, so I'm not going to go off. But I had a client who was running their own Google Ads and decided they're going to run their own Google Ads. And they're an orthodontic client. And they just didn't understand. They're like, we're getting all these clicks. And this is, again, where data can be skewed, right? We're getting all these clicks. We're getting all these clicks. But it's just the numbers are not increasing. And I'm like, all right. So I go into their Google AdWords account. Well, and they were targeting words like braces. Now, there are different kinds of braces.
Of course.
They are not just orthodontic braces, right? There are different kinds of braces. And when I looked at the keywords, they had no idea what negative keywords meant. So they were targeting,
they wouldn't. Yeah.
Right. So they were targeting major keywords, like just general keywords, spending all this money on Google without having any negative keywords. So they were showing up for searches, which are completely ridiculous. That had nothing to do with
that. Happened with implants, and the types of leads that people get are not at all what they were truly expecting if they aren't careful in being that targeted.
Absolutely. And that's where I think you have to draw a line. There is a way to use technology to leverage it correctly. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be spending money on any kind of marketing, whether it is Google, whether it is Facebook, whether it is postcards or websites or, you know, wherever you decide to spend, you need to know, do I have enough knowledge to leverage this? And do I have enough time to spend on this, to be on top of this? And you do Google AdWords. When you do Google AdWords for your clients, do you come across that it's a very time-consuming process?
It is. There are some pretty sophisticated industry tools that we use because we have so many clients that do AdWords, we are fortunately able to see trends across. I mean, I can tell you exactly what's going to make a perfect dental implants campaign because we've done so many of them that you can see that there's really broad reach to certain keywords or messages or offers or whatever it is. So it's become a little less time consuming, but if you are not constantly in there monitoring, adjusting for negative keywords, adjusting your bid strategies, deciding if mobile is no longer appropriate because it's getting picked up on too many networks. There's so many different aspects to it. A/B testing aspects on your landing pages. This isn't something you want to set and forget. It really needs to be constantly monitored. And I don't want to say played with, but it's very strategic. You can't just apply, you know, a rule across the board. It's very individual based on the market.
It is. It is individual. And, you know, something like that, I would say definitely delegate outside. Mm-hmm. There are times when, you know, people are like, oh, can you teach us how to do Facebook ads? And I'm like, sure, I can teach you how to do it, but I highly recommend that this be delegated outside. Unless you have the time and the knowledge and the tools and the resources to make it right, it's just going to give you mixed results and not very good results. You need people who understand how it works. And I can Well, I'll show you to educate you so you know the difference between fake numbers, fake news, fake numbers and real numbers. You would at least be able to know what the team is doing for you. But then there are other things that I think that the team 100% has to be involved in.
Agreed. And social is a huge part of that. And everything that happens once that patient has called your office, it's in the team hands from there on out, creating that exceptional experience for a new patient, asking for the referrals, asking for the reviews, facilitating them moving forward with treatment. I mean, it is this constant hands-on experience. So you can't, when it comes to marketing, I mean, I know you've probably had this too, where there's some offices, they're so busy with so many things that they just kind of want to say, here's my budget, you take care of everything. And unfortunately, I mean, there you can do that to an extent, but you're not going to get the results you're looking for. You have to be involved with it.
You absolutely do. And I think we all receive that all the time where, you know, hey, here's all the money, and I'm just going to give you the money, and then I just want the new patients' numbers to increase automatically. And I don't want to be involved. This is why I'm hiring you. So I had to switch it up. I actually switched it up last year, end of last year. And I am now requiring, this is a requirement. I don't sign up if this is not there. I am requiring all my clients, whether they are business owners, you know, coaches, consultants, speakers, or dentists, that they have to assign me somebody in their practice that I can work with.
Mm-hmm.
Or I will help you figure out a job description for you to hire somebody mm-hmm. whose job it's going to be to start helping you with marketing side of your practice. Because what I was coming across was there was a lot of chatter and nothing was getting done.
Lack of accountability is not uncommon in dental practices because, and this is a skill that I think everybody can learn, but is never taught. Nobody teaches us in school is leadership. And the doctor has to be the leader of the practice and needs to know that they are delegating to their team members, that there's accountability, that things are getting done, that they have performance metrics to prove that what they're looking for, they're getting the results they expect. So yes, they've got to have someone who is dedicated, but the doctor still has to oversee it in my mind.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you are the only thing that you have going on really is people will follow what you're doing. And if mm-hmm. you as a business owner don't care enough to find out, or if you as a business owner don't care enough to put in the effort or to show that, hey, you know what, we are going to be doing this, so let's implement it together. That's an issue. So when you're doing these things, it becomes a difficult part when you are not the one leading the way it should be done. And this happens, I think, all the time, where the business owner does not want to be that involved. And that's why I said, if you don't want to be that involved, give me somebody, assign me somebody that is going to be making the decisions and they have a deadline on things. Mm-hmm. And we know that we are moving ahead because we have things scheduled. But then this was something else I did. And everybody who's watching, let me know, hey, Dr. Reem, thanks for being here. Oh, my God, we have all the comments just popped up. Hi, Trish. Hi, Candace. Hi, Kathy. Hello, hello, hello. Sorry, we have 38 comments. Hi, guys. Welcome. Technology decided to work out of a sudden for us. Yay. I was talking about doctor's teams.
Doctor's teams, having someone assigned, staying accountable.
Yes. Staying accountable. And here's where I wanted people's opinion. So everybody who is watching this right now, I want some live reaction. Let me know what you think of this too. So the way I work is I schedule strategy calls, right? And I have decided to do this, and it's been working really well. I have in my contract, in my agreement, I don't do contracts, but in my agreement that they sign off on, it literally says there, you have 7 days. If you go ahead and reschedule our chat within 7 days, you will get a 10% rescheduling fee.
Ooh, interesting.
And guess what's happened?
I bet that changed behavior really quick because there were consequences.
There were consequences, and not only were there consequences, people are not breaking their appointments with me.
You know what's funny is we instituted a couple of years ago a partnership agreement that we ask all of our clients to sign. And in it, we set up clear expectations from the beginning of what our meetings and regular reviews are going to look like, the feedback that we expect. We have an agreement about open and honest communication and not just going quiet because something isn't exactly what you're looking for. And so very, very similar to you, having that partnership with a practice, and it doesn't have to be the doctor. I've had some absolutely phenomenal office managers or hygienists or whoever gets assigned to it that frankly move it forward so much better than the doctor even could, but they commit to the process and they commit to be part of this rather than just divorcing themselves from, you know, here's my money, I'm buying a product and I want magic back. They realize how much farther it goes when they are part of it because it's their business and they deserve to participate in those decisions. So we are so similar.
Well, you know, so the first thing is when I started this, I first thought I was going to get, because again, listen, all of our listeners, so many of our listeners, I mean, right now we have a lot of business owners and this is going to go out in the world, but there is a lot of dentists and they're going to probably like, oh, look at her talk about 7 days, you know? And I thought I was going to get a lot of negative feedback on this because I added this in my agreement, but I did not get negative feedback on it because like you said, setting up expectations. So I started, you know, I would have the discovery call with them where I'm discussing my services, I tell them that. And I say, listen, so I do have this policy and it's the same thing as you having treatment scheduled. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have 2 hours of your treatment schedule, you expect people to confirm and to show up. And in the same way, I have my time where I want to make sure that we are doing this together and we are focusing on your goals. Because if we miss this session, then we are not focusing on your goals anymore.
Right.
And like everything else, it's going to just keep falling down and down and down and everybody's going to get busy in their lives. And then these are just going to be, again, it's just going to be chatter and it's not going to be implemented. So there is a difference when we are both accountable. And I tell them, I do the same thing. So this also forces me that I don't break my appointments with you. Mm-hmm. It's not just on your part. This is also on my part. So when you go ahead and schedule your time with me on my calendar, and I had the open spot there for you, now it's on me to make sure that I'm prepared, I am ready, that we are doing this together. So it's a team effort. And in doing so, no negative feedback.
And I'm going to bet that the results that you've seen, tell me if you've seen something different, I'm going to bet the results for your clients have only gone up since you have instituted that, created clear expectations that they are partnering with you rather than just hiring you to do it and walking away. All it does is benefit. So is that what you've seen?
I have definitely seen that. And you know what else I have seen? I have seen the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Because what usually happens is when we all have ideas, we are super excited and we are like, yes, this is so awesome. I love this idea. I love this idea. And then you go back to work the next day and you put it away.
Yep.
Because you have to do everything else. But the fact that we are in a schedule now, the fact that we're going to be talking about this in the next coming week, you can't forget about it. There are implementation that has to happen. So there is this excitement level. And what I have also realized, so I don't do contracts. I do, you know, I set up my strategy based on what do I think you need? And you just pay me for that time. And then after that, you have an option to keep me on board. And I have a 95% retention rate where people just speak to me every month just to speak to me. And we are not doing much more than just discussing a few things because my goal is to make sure you are trained and hired to do what you're supposed to do. And you're working with fabulous companies who are doing the rest for you, right? But the reason, and I asked somebody this recently, and I said, you know, you've been my client for like 5 years now, and you pay me on a monthly basis, and we have long gone the strategy part. It's just getting on a phone call with me every month. Why do you do that? And that's what they said. They're like, well, this way we know that it's happening.
Yep.
There is, like you said, accountability. This way we know that, hey, we have to get on a call with Manal. We were supposed to do this. We discussed this with her last month. Did we do it? And I understand that. Because I have a trainer at the gym. And without the trainer, I will not be working out. I pay my trainer to show up for me. I have a home gym. I have a home gym.
Of course, yep. But we all want that. It's amazing. I think I always say to my team, don't ask somebody what they want. Tell them what they need. Your job as an expert is to lead them. Everybody in the world is begging to be led. They want someone to help them with that process. And so what you're doing is you're leading them by giving them that accountability. That's the same thing that your trainer is doing, is you're providing them with exactly what they want, which is to move forward. Someone who is just helping them with the path. They know they're participating, they're doing some of the work, but they're also the ones who earn the results when they're a part of the process.
Yes, I think, and you know, like I said, I'm not all that in a bag of chips at all. Trust me, I have my fault. And there are definitely times when I get a question, and I'm like, hold on a second, I have no idea. I'm gonna Google this real quick and I'll get back to you. Or I'll figure out a solution, or I'll reach out to another expert in this field and I will, you know, let you know, or I will connect you with an expert. And I think that is also a quality that we all need to have, where team matters, right? And we also have to know that everybody has different strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can talk a little bit about this, and I know we are kind of switching gears with this, with the team, but it's so important for your team to be able to handle things and for you to appreciate that as a business owner, as a dentist.
Well, I mean, that's just the principle of leverage. If the doctor wants the business to grow, they have to be able to leverage their unique skill set by transferring those skills to other team members who are very capable of helping them with that. If the doctor is setting out very clear expectations, clear outcomes that they are looking for, and they're delegating it to a team member who's got the skills and understands the task, and there's all the doctor has to do is provide that accountability, that's how the practice can really grow. Because if you aren't supported by all those team members, then one person is going to become the hole at the bottom of the funnel that is just so nothing gets done. Everything gets roadblocked instead of letting all the information flow through and the practice to really grow. So I agree. I mean, while the doctor should be in charge, the team should be the one really supporting them with the day-to-day execution.
I think the quote is, you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And a part of that is knowing your team as well. So, you know, just going back to a couple of marketing, because I can't believe we've already been chatting for 45 minutes, because clearly I go off on tangents. And I'm sure my team's going to be like, we told you we needed under an hour for all of our repurposing. So we do have to stay under an hour, as my team is here Facebook messaging me to let me know that. But, you know, a couple of marketing tips. If you were to give our listeners 5 very quick marketing tips, what would they be?
5 quick marketing tips. 1, look for complete transparency in everything that you do with your marketing. So that means something that provides reporting, phone call. I love tracked phone calls for any different type of campaign, because it really does provide that transparency to say.
And can you just very quickly tell us that difference? Because a lot of people think that having a tracked phone number or a separate phone number messes up their SEO.
Oh, absolutely not. No, it's funny. Somebody else asked that the other day. So it's simply a matter of, we use a new patient and an existing patient phone number, or like a current patient phone number on websites. And we simply write the code so that the new patient number, that is the tracking phone number, is told, it basically, it says to Google, do not index this phone number, do not pick it up, scrape it, add it to my Google My Business listing. Now, yes, there are some companies out there, unfortunately, who do not know how to do this correctly. And I have seen somebody literally use a tracking phone number, not just on the website, but in the Google My Business page, and another one on Yelp, and another one on Facebook, and it's dangerous. It's a very, very simple thing to do to make sure that it does not get indexed. But once you do have that tracking in place, then that's the fastest way to know how well that particular source is working. So you're only reinvesting the money in the thing that is giving you the result that you're looking for. So that's marketing tip number 1. Number 2, social is not going anywhere. If you are not part of the social world, if you're not creating a conversation with your patients and your community, somebody else is going to do it and beat you to the punch. 3rd tip, and these aren't even fast, sorry, but these plans. If you don't have a plan, you're it's a shotgun approach. You have to start any marketing initiative with a plan. Know your audience, map out your strategies and your budget, and then it's a roadmap, because if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there, right? My 4th quick strategy is retention, making sure that every single new patient that comes in has their next appointment scheduled before they walk out the door. And really capitalize on that incredible new patient experience that you've created. That's the perfect time to ask them for a review of your practice, because you have just wowed them with the most amazing new patient experience they've ever had in any dental office ever. That's the perfect time to ask for that review, which is great marketing, because they're going to be very enthusiastic and excited about their experience with you, and they're going to share that, and they want to do something to please you because it's such a fun and different experience they've just been through with you. So I think, did I hit five?
I think so. And you did an incredible, incredible job at hitting those five tips. And I agree with all of them. All of them.
Good.
Yes. All are brilliant. And I know we have a lot of business owners and stuff watching. So if you are a business owner, coach, consultant, speaker, here are my five marketing tips for you. And this can also be applied to dentists, but specifically for coach, consultants, and speakers. The first tip, show up. If you wanna be known in the industry, if you wanna be the go-to person for something, if you want to create a sustainable business, show up. Whether if it's to a meeting, whether it is to a conference, whether it is to a Zoom call, whether it is to a discovery call, show up. Because if people don't know who you are, you don't exist. So people need to see you so that they can continue to keep seeing you. And they know exactly who you are, what you do, and trust me, your business will flourish. Networking has been a strategy for decades, probably a century or older. That's how things used to work in the old days. That's how things still work. Now I want you to make sure that you actually show up and put some effort into creating those relationships. Number one. Number two, you don't need all the marketing in the world. You simply don't. In fact, I would say you probably don't need more than 60% of the marketing you're currently using. You need to focus on those five things. And if you are a business owner, like a consultant, coach, speaker, maybe just three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just focus on the three marketing avenues that work best for you, whether it is calling a meeting planner every day so that you can, if you want to be a speaker, perhaps you need to make sure that you get a speaking list, you know, get in touch with Vanessa Emerson. She makes speaker packets. She has the list of all the meeting planners. She has an email template. You know, find out the people who can help you get there. But focus on those three things. So if you want to become a speaker, pick up the phone and call the meeting planners. Tell them who you are. What do you speak on? What do you speak on is important. How is it that you're going to be connecting with their audience? And why you? Why you as a speaker? There are so many speakers out there. Why you? Give them a reason to have, you know, but at the first, approach them. Because again, if they don't know you exist, you don't exist. So you have to do that little bit of initial pushing. So let's say one of your strategies is calling meeting plans every day. Do it. Make it into your calendar. If you're a calendar person, add it to your calendar. Just make sure you're always on top of it. The third strategy that I would say is, this is going to be a little bit more social for you. So if you are using social media, don't just use social media to advertise. Don't just use social media to sell your services. Use social media as a party. Use social media as a gathering, as an event, as a conference. Use it to share about you, but use it to share about you in a way that is connecting with people. That, you know, how people are always about think outside the box. I'm telling you to think inside the box. I'm telling you to find similarities. And I'm telling you to not differentiate yourself when you're doing this, but find similarities and connect with people. The similar people connect to similar people on social media. So leverage it to do that. If you need some examples of that, go into my Facebook friend. If you aren't yet, Facebook friend me and search for hashtag Real Talk with Manal, and you will see some great examples of exactly what I'm talking about. And those posts that I make, which are Real Talk with Manal, are seriously my most happening posts because they're genuine, they're authentic. I'm connecting with people. I'm asking for feedback. So, you know, try to use social media to leverage it. Don't just use it as, let me throw an ad and then walk away. Another thing with social media, there are a lot of groups. And in all these groups that you are in, you know, there's very clear difference when people are selling and when people are recommending some companies and somebody who only jumps in when they have a service they can sell. So you can tell, you know, in my own group, there are times where I'll have these people who have never interacted in my group ever, but out of a sudden they have a workshop or something coming up and they'll post their video on there, or they'll post their workshop on that. Listen, my group is not for you to just come and throw your commercial on there. That's not the point. So you know what happens to that post? It gets deleted because I have no idea who you are. Why are you posting some random video about something that I don't even know who you are and what do you do, and you're putting it in my group? You're going to get removed. So if you are part of different group members, and this is the truth, I get on an average at least one new client who messages me on Facebook directly through Facebook Messenger. One at least every week I get that on Facebook Messenger. And a lot of times they heard about me or from me in a group. But if there are groups that I'm a part of, I am interacting with that group. So I am not just there to sell my service. I am there to answer questions. I am there to give back. I am there to, if there is something that I don't even know, I will. If there is somebody looking for website companies, there are times where I have tagged website companies and I said, hey, here are some people that I work with, reach out to them. So the point is, be interactive. Don't just be there to be a lurker and like you're kind of stalking the group and you're like, yes, that's what I sell. I'm going to go right away and type this whole paragraph on it. Dude, no, everybody notices that. Please don't do that. So there are so many different strategies that you can use. And the last one and the most important one is know your numbers. This is true for any business owner, but this is really true for speakers, coaches, consultants, is that if you don't know your numbers, then you don't know where your business is heading. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know where or how you should be spending your money as well. And when we are, and trust me, I've been through this. I'm not all that out of bag of chips. I have been through this a long time. I had to hire a business coach to help me plan this out because I was doing all these things and I was trying to figure out how do I manage it all? How do I plan it all? There is nothing worse than growing too quickly without being able to handling it. And if you are a coach, consultant, business owner, speaker, I'm sure that you may have a growth spurt happening. You just have to be prepared for that growth. Because what's going to happen is you may get too busy too quickly, and then everybody who is accustomed to your services may not receive the same services, and you're going to lose your current clients, which then lose your new clients. So knowing your numbers is important because it's going to help you streamline what you're doing and help you prepare for the future. So when you do start getting those new clients, when you do start getting those new speaking engagements and you have all these meeting planners calling you and your travel schedule is crazy and you're always on the go and you're like, oh my God, I haven't been home in a month or 2 days home. You know, when you see all those famous people on our industry talking about how they're excited to be home for 3 days and then they're back on the road, you can prepare for all that. But those are my 5 tips. What do we else? Oh, we have a question which we just need to answer, and then we're going to close this because this is getting a long show. I have a question from Dr. Reem, and Dr. Reem is saying, how do you reach out to the community that you are in? Can you give me some examples?
There's a bunch of things that you can do. First off, I think, and you'll probably agree with me on this, look on Facebook for community groups. There's a lot of times moms groups that are really popular in a local community, and don't sell, just like you're saying. Educate, contribute, be helpful. And when it is important for you to be a resource, when someone says, my kid fell and they knocked out their front tooth, what do I do? You can be a resource and you're going to really be integrated with that community group. The other thing is just things that are literally being involved in the community. I love it when dentists literally live in the community that they practice in. We're fortunate enough to be able to do that. It's hard to be super community involved when you're commuting from a half an hour away. So being involved in school events, going to community health fairs, literally just showing up at local community events and not necessarily always with the intent of handing out your business card. It should be letting people get to know the authentic, real, personal you. And then you can connect with them on social media and invite them to like your business page and create some involvement with them. But community marketing needs to be really personal and really authentic. And there, I can't say that there's like a perfect strategy for every community. I've seen some doctors who are phenomenal. I have one practice out in Chicago, and I'll keep this really brief. He does an Easter egg hunt for the entire community. He does a Christmas parade. He does these things big, over the top, fun, and people absolutely love it. They know him for it. It's an incredible way to build his brand. He's so much fun. And then there's people who are much more introverts and they want something low key. It's okay to find whatever it is that fits you as long as it is authentically you.
Absolutely. And, you know, like we mentioned earlier again today, it's build a relationship first and then try to do it. Some of the ideas, if you want to do community right now, it's summertime. Throw a barbecue in your parking lot. You know, invite people to come hang out at the barbecue. If I have I have a dentist in Pennsylvania and they have multiple offices in Pennsylvania, and you know, they actually do a spaghetti night dinner, and it's this big deal. And the doctor, you know, the dentist, he loves to cook, and you know, he creates this whole big spaghetti night, and they put up tents, and their patients know about it. It's an annual event every year in the summer. They get people over, and everybody's eating spaghetti, and there are yard games. You know, people know who this person is because they expect it. Reach out to your chamber of commerce. You know, reach out to them and say, hey, we are a business here. What are some local businesses? Because a lot of chamber of commerce, and I know, Dr. Reem, you're in New Jersey. A lot of chamber of commerce, they have events. Like, they have breakfast and lunches at different areas, and you're able to now create strategic partnerships or at least create some sort of a relationship, business relationship. I don't want to say strategic partnership because that could be profit sharing. So no, I'm not saying to do profit sharing. I'm just going to say it out loud here. I'm not saying profit sharing, but it doesn't hurt you for other businesses to know that you exist and what are the services you provide.
BNI groups are really helpful for that kind of thing too. If you don't have a strong chamber, we've done BNI, a number of clients have done it. And if you really follow the process, it's a great way to just expose more people to your brand. You'd be amazed how many referrals can come in from something that simple.
BNI groups are great. Local races, you know, you have breast cancer awareness, you have autism month. Again, summertime, carnival. There is so much happening in summer. It's crazy. Imagine carnival, and if you are a dental office, if you're seeing kids or if you're a pediatric dental office, you have a great table. You make it fun. You do the wheel, and you can make like fun questions around it. You can have some games so the kids are winning prizes. I would say put up a lot of balloons. Whatever, you know, see what the fair rules are, but put a lot of balloons, wear bright t-shirts so people can spot exactly who you are, and create a strategy. Don't just do it because you have, it's a carnival, but create a strategy around it. Give up something, you know, give up a free promo of some sort, maybe movie tickets. It's summertime again, so you're going to have great movies coming out. Give out movie tickets, or even better, rent out the movie theater for one of the, you know, rent out the movie theater for Aladdin, right? And now send out tickets to your patients who can make it or who are the ones who always refer you people. So much you can do in the community. So much you can do. I think you and I can talk about this for hours.
Oh, we could. We could. Actually, real quick, my husband, many years ago, he's an Ironman triathlete still, but he created a local kids triathlon and different age groups. And it was a local community thing. And he put it on the heels of the adult tri, the sprint tri that was happening in the area. And it was just legendary. These kids, literally, they would wear their t-shirts all the time because it was swim, bike, run, smile. And it was just branded to him. And it was something that was truly, he was passionate about, and the community loved it.
It's so true. And, you know, people see that, you know, having random days of appreciation in the community. Mm-hmm. Just go out one day and, you know, go to the coffee shop and the coffee's on you for the couple of hours. And everybody in return is going to get a card with your information on it and, you know, hashtag paid forward. And I guarantee you those people are going to screenshot that or take a picture of the card and put it up on Facebook and tag you guys and thank you for the coffee. You know, there are so many small things you can do in the community, but it all has to come down from how do I show care? How do I show appreciation? And the more you show that, the more people see that you care about the community, that you're a part of the community, the easier it is for people to trust you. And the easier it is for people to recommend you. And then clearly, you know, you have to be a good dentist. I mean, we can't help you with that part. But clearly you have to know what you're doing, you know, which I know that you do, Dr. Reem, because you're an absolutely brilliant and amazing dentist. So, yes, there are so many different things. Buzz me later or buzz Zaina later, and I'm sure we'll get you all sorted out. So now that we are very close to the hour, how do they reach you? If they want something from you, how do they reach you?
Absolutely. So the first place to go is to our website, goldenproportions.com. You can grab us on web chat. The phone number is on there. Also, email me directly. It's just Zanya, X-A-N-A, at goldenproportions.com. And anybody on my team can get you scheduled, find time for us to talk. I, like I said, I'm a, like a full-time problem solver. I really love to solve problems for people. So I am more than happy to jump on a phone call and just, we call them like a marketing breakthrough call, because all of a sudden the light bulbs will start going off of, oh, that's why that thing isn't working. Okay.
Oh. And
you can get some immediate answers as well as really start to think about the long-term stuff. So website, email, web chat, our Facebook page. You can find us under Golden Proportions Marketing. We have a big team, would love to help anybody that's listening in tonight.
And I can tell you that they have a fantastic team, because I have worked with their team. And they are super customer service friendly. You know, they are there for you. They answer questions. And I have sometimes have a lot of questions. So they're patient enough to answer all my questions for me as well. And this is why I had her. And, you know, Trish made a comment earlier today, and I just wanted to acknowledge that, because she actually said that, I love that you brought another, I love that you're willing to bring on another marketing person. So everybody who's listening, yes, we, Zanya and I, we both believe in the world of abundance, and we believe that the world is big enough for everybody.
Absolutely.
So I am so glad that she came in. And if you do have people who are in the marketing field that you would want to bring on the show, please, please have them reach out to me. I do not judge. I do not do any of that. I, like I said, it's even better when you have multiple people collaborating on the same topic. So if you do have people that you think would be a great asset to this show that you want to hear, that you want to bring on as a guest, please have them buzz me, and you know, we'll figure out a way to get them on here. So thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for having me as a guest. It was wonderful.
Oh, it was such a great time. Such a great time. And I hope you guys message her, because she's so awesome. So message her, ask us questions, and wow, 53 comments, huh? Things are happening here, and there was one share. So we're going to start sharing. And remember, this is now going to be turned into a podcast, into a YouTube series, going into an email, going to be on Instagram TV. So there's going to be a lot of places you can catch the replay. And once again, thank you to CallForce for being our resource for today and being totally awesome and helping me manage all of this. Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Happy summer.
Bye. Thank you.